بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رسيدت شعر وعارف بالله حضرت اقدس حضرت مولانا شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ. The title is اپنے مالک کو راضی کرے خوب ہم.
جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا درد و غم ہو کہ انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم. جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا درد و غم ہو کہ انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم. دوستوں سن لو کچھ تم میری داستان. دوستوں سن لو کچھ تم میری داستان. ایک دن پھر نہیں ہوں گے دنیا میں ہم. جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا درد و غم ہو کہ انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم. خاک تن میں نہیں ہے اگر درد دل. خاک تن صرف ہم. کوئی قیمت نہیں خاک ہے صرف ہم. جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا درد و غم ہو کہ انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم. دو جہاں میں کوئی میری قیمت نہیں. دو جہاں میں کوئی میری قیمت نہیں. ہاں اگر آپ کی ہو نگاہ کرم. اگر آپ کی ہو نگاہ کرم. صحبت اہل دل سے ملا درد دل. صحبت اہل دل سے ملا درد دل. ورنہ پا دل کہاں سے یہ دولت بھی ہم. ورنہ پا دل کہاں سے یہ دولت بھی ہم. جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا درد و غم ہو کہ انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم. درد دل سیکھنا ہے اگر دوستوں. درد دل سیکھنا ہے اگر دوستوں. ساتھ میرے رہو پھر سکھائیں گے ہم. ساتھ میرے رہو پھر سکھائیں گے ہم. سارے عرب و سما اور شمس و قمر. سارے عرب و سما اور شمس و قمر. دیکھ کر پاگل اپنے حال کو ہم. دیکھ دیکھ کر پاگے اپنے خالق کو ہم, جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا درد و غم, ہو کے انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم, دل کے ملنے کی بات کچھ اور ہی, دل کے ملنے کی بات کچھ اور ہی, ساتھ رہتے ہیں گو ایک مدت سے ہم, ساتھ رہتے ہیں گو ایک مدت سے ہم, سختیاں شیخ کی ہے فنا کے لیے, سختیاں شیخ کی ہے فنا کے لیے, مت سمجھ مت سمجھ اس کو ہر کسی تن, مت سمجھ مت سمجھ اس کو ہر کسی تم, جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا جل تو غم, ہو کے انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم, اخترے بینوا کی سجا سنو, اخترے بینوا کی سجا سنو, اپنے مالک کو راضی کریں خود ہم, اپنے مالک کو راضی کریں خود ہم, جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا درد و غم, ہو کے انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم, جس کے دل میں نہیں ہے تیرا درد و غم, ہو کے انسان ہی جانور سے وہ کم.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم, نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول کریم, اما بعد. This beautiful poem of Hazrat Arif Billah Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, which was done in reunion. Hazrat says that we have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every way we try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this should become the object of our life, that in every action of ours, Allah must be pleased with us. This is an amazing story of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thami Rahmatullah Alayh. One person came to him and he said, Hazrat, I got an inheritance problem. My father passed away, and at that time they never used to give the woman the meher. After they passed away, they asked them to make it maaf. So to Hazrat also, my father, now the inheritance, explained to me what must have been done here. So Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah Alayhi thought to himself, immediately he looked at his own life. He said, you know what, my father also, I don't think he gave my mother's and my stepmother's the inheritance. Father had four wives. So Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah said, now the money which had come to him, and altogether it must have been about 1,000 rupees which he had to, he worked it out, 1/8 of the inheritance goes to the four wives, or the portion of meher, not 1/8, the portion of meher. So he started working out now, they already passed away, and all the other family members, he started, he said, Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah said, it took him 2 years to get all of that money sorted out and sent, found out from each person. First he found out the fatwa from different muftis. He said he never used to, whenever it was a fatwa for himself, he never used to trust his own self, his own judgment. Even though he was a great mufti, he would always ask other muftis. Other muftis gave him gunjai, gave him permission, but still he took ihtiyat and precaution. And he said, I will take the more precautious view, I'll make sure I pay everybody off, all the inheritors. And some people were far, different places, he sent different people. And whoever was doing the work, he paid those people also, he must go and give this person the money. And some people had one anna, one pesa, very small amount of money. But there was so much of ihtimam and fikr, concerned that this money has to go to the rightful people. So 2 years it took him to sort out that affair. So imagine our kabir, how much of ihtiyat, taqwa, piety they had. Allah Ta'ala give us a small amount of that day. We have the fikr and concern for money. I'm saying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how am I going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this says here, that this person who does not have in his heart the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not a human being. Janur say will come. He is even lower than an animal also. Ulaika kal an'ami bal hum adall. Allah says regarding the kuffar, they are like animals, in fact even worse than animals, lower than animals. Because the object of their life, they do not know what it is. The animals know what the object of life is, they are fulfilling the object. But human beings are not fulfilling the object of life, so they are worse than animals. Dosto sun lo tum meri kuch meri dastan, ek din fir nahi honge dunya mein hum. Oh my friends, Hazrat says, listen to what I am telling you. One day it will happen in this world, we won't be here. So now I'm giving you this message. But look at the ikhlas and sincerity of our elders. They're just their ash'ar and their words. Hazrat is not here, but his words are here, and we are still taking benefit. And how many people's lives are changing just by listening to the salam of our elders or reading their kitabs, etc. But he says, one day I won't be here, so listen now carefully what I am telling you. This fikr and concern of my heart. Khaketan mein nahi hai agar zard dil, koi qeemat nahi khaak hai sirf hum. That this body of ours, which is made of sand, if the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, then this body has got no value. It is only sand. And when a person passes away, he goes in the qabr, it's sand. The Hazrat mentioned once that if you take sand, and everything else in this world is made of sand, whether it's your cars, it eventually turns to dust. Whether it's your buildings, it eventually goes into dust. So all of the things of the world, it says even women, they are made of sand and dust. He says if you take the two and you add them, dust and dust is equal to dust. You're going to get nothing at the end of the day. But he says the same dust, if you join it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the dust will become valuable. It will become of great value, great quality, because you have joined it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is ever loving, so the dust will also remain forever and forever, because the connection was made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you join it with something which is dead, then when that thing will die, you will also die. The dust will also come to an end. So what it is, we've got no value at all if we haven't got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do jaha mein koi meri qeemat nahi, ha agar aap ki ho nigahe karam. In both the worlds, I've got no value at all. Yes, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your gaze of kindness and karam is upon me, then I will have some value. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased and happy with us. And then how will a person get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sohbate ahle dil se mila dard dil, warna paate kaha se ye dolat biham. By staying in the sohbat and company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have earned this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, where were we fit? Or where from where could we ever have attained this dawlat and this great gift, which is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ittaqu Allaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. To get a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kunu ma'as-sadiqin. Stay in the company and of the righteous and the pious people. To stay in the suhbat, and this love of Allah ta'ala will rub off into a person's heart. Hazrat says, Dard dil sikhna hai agar dosto, saath mere raho fir sikhayenge hum. If you want to learn this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh my friends, then stay with us for a while, then we will teach it to you. The person who has got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants other people also to get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stay, let us stay together, and then we will learn this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sare ard wa sama wa shams wa qamar, dekh kar pa gaye apne khaliq ko hum. By looking at the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, when a person looks at all of these things, then by means of this a person gets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he finds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this comes in the Quran Sharif. Allah ta'ala says, that the ulul albab, the intelligent people, are those people, yazkurun Allah, make the dhikr of Allah ta'ala in all conditions, qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim, standing and sitting, and on the sides also, wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, and they ponder regarding the creation of the heavens and the earth. So, our elders have mentioned, that there are many people in this world who also look at all the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they ponder over it, but unfortunately they find the wrong result. You get certain people, the scientists for example, that they are looking at all of these things, but they are not going closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are going further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Mashabir Rahman Rahmani Rahmatullah gave a beautiful example. He says a person goes into a palace, very beautiful palace, and he's supposed to look at the king. That is why he's going in the palace. The object of the palace is not the palace, the object of the palace is the king. So he goes in the palace to go and meet the king. But you get some people who are crooks. They come in the palace not to meet the king, but they come in the palace to steal all the things of the, and to utilize the things of the palace. And they will utilize it for themselves, for their own benefit. He says, all of these things Allah Ta'ala has created, the heavens and the earth. Look at it and find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder, Ya Allah, you have created this. Ma khalaqta hadha batila. Subhanaka faqina adhab al-nar. Allah, you are pure. I can see how beautiful you have created this. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. And the kuffar, unfortunately, the scientists, they look at all of these things and they go further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just utilize it for their own benefit. But unfortunately, they do not find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person ponders over the creations of the heavens and the earth, automatically he will see and he will understand that there is definitely a creator, a sustainer behind this. And his heart will go, Ya Allah, you have created this. And we should actually think about these things and ponder. Allah ta'ala in the Quran, many places, He asks us, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't you look at the camels, how they were created. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Look at the skies, look at the earth, look at the jibal, look at the mountains. All of these things are around you, simple things. Look at them and you will automatically find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as it is, we looked at all of these things. And by looking at these things, we found our creator, our sustainer. دل کے ملنے کی ہے بات کچھ اور ہی ساتھ رہتے ہیں گو ایک مدت سے ہم. Then when a person gets this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's something completely different. An enjoyment a person gets when he gets the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an effort a person has to make, that to get a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is with us at all times. But when a person gets the connection and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person's whole life changes. Allah ta'ala make us amongst those people. And then Hazrat says, سختیہ شیخ کی ہے فنا کے لیے مت سمجھ اس کو ہرگز ستم. Sometimes the sheikh will become upset with the murid and he will shout him, he will reprimand him, and this is just to for that person to become annihilated. The sheikh doesn't hate the murid, he loves the murid and he wants the murid to reach the highest of stages. The two people who are, the ihsan is very great upon a person, or even three people you can say. One is the parents. Parents always want the best for their children. What they never did in life, they want their children to get even higher stages. Similarly, a ustad in a madrasa, what he could not get in his life, he wants his students to progress, they must go very, very high. And similarly, a sheikh, he also wants his murid to progress, they must reach high levels. So he makes an effort in this way. But sometimes when he sees maybe pride coming into a person or arrogance, then sometimes the sheikh becomes upset and he reprimands. It's not because of hatred, but because of love for that person. That the person must go even get more tawazu and humility in himself and fly to higher levels also. Never ever regard this as sitam, that the sheikh is angry with you or is swearing you or is upset with you. But regard it as a means for my Islam, for my reformation, and for me to progress closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hazrat says, finally, they listen to Hazrat cry, which is calling out to every person, ki apne malik ko razi kare khub hum, that every one of us to see that how can we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make that the object of our life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every moment He must be pleased with me. And because we are human beings, we have got weaknesses within ourselves, so tawbah is lazim, compulsory upon a person. And وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Every one of you must make tawbah without any exception. And by means of this, because human beings, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَاءٌ, every human being is full of mistakes and weaknesses. And the best of those who've got weaknesses, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Those who make tawbah in great abundance. التواب, not تائبون, التواب. In great abundance they make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more we will try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we've got weaknesses within ourselves, make tawbah. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Allah loves those who make a lot of tawbah, and Allah loves those who are pure. So if you haven't reached a level of purity, Allah also loves those who make tawbah in great abundance. And how will you reach a level of purity? The first path to it is towards tawbah. When a person makes a lot of tawbah, cries before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begs Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, then a person becomes eventually pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people, that our whole life we sacrifice it. But how can we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That should become the object of our life. From the kitab, Hayatul Muslimin, written by Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh, mentioning the solutions to the problems facing the ummah. So the fifth chapter, belief in taqdeer and tawakkul in Allah. We are reading this. Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the good fortune of a person is that he remains pleased with what Allah ta'ala has ordained for him. The misfortune of a person is that he refrains from asking Allah ta'ala for goodness, and that he is displeased with what Allah ta'ala has ordained for him. Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the heart of man lingers after everything. Allah ta'ala does not care for a man who puts his heart at the disposal of everything. He may be destroyed in any place, in any way. Allah ta'ala doesn't care for that person. Whoever has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala suffices for him in all affairs. This hadith points out that such a man whose trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not become despondent and he is not overcome by worry. Hazrat Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever remains aligned to Allah Ta'ala with his heart, Allah Ta'ala will be sufficient for him in all his affairs. Allah Ta'ala will bestow on him sustenance from such quarters which he did not even think of. However, whoever aligns himself with the world, Allah Ta'ala hands him over to the world. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a person, tie your camel and trust in Allah Ta'ala. Thus, tawakkul does not mean the abandonment of the lawful means and agencies which Allah Ta'ala has created for the execution of activities. One has to place his trust in Allah Ta'ala and not place his trust in the means and ways. Hazrat Abu Khuzama radiallahu anhu narrates that someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do incantations and medicine, if ta'weez and medicine alter taqdeer? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this too is included in taqdeer. According to this hadith, the benefit which will result from medicine, etc., is also dictated by taqdeer. The sum total of this discussion is that Muslims should never become despondent and frustrated in difficult situations. Take lessons from what has been said in these ayat and ahadith, and do not become weak in your deen. Repose and place all your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Hazrat writes the next chapter, supplicating, to make dua. Dua or supplication is to petition Allah ta'ala for one's needs and requirements, be they worldly needs or spiritual, be they in regards to one's worldly affairs or deeni affairs, whether such affairs and needs are within one's ability of acquisition or not. In all cases, the Muslim has to supplicate to Allah Ta'ala for the fulfillment of his needs. Dua for unlawful desires and needs is not permissible. While making dua, all the lawful means and agencies for the requirement should be used. Example, the farmer while making dua for his farm to yield, should at the same time engage in the means and ways of farming. While making dua for protection against an enemy, should at the same time engage in the ways and means of warding of the enemy. The sick while making dua for recovery should resort to medicine and treatment as well. One involved in a court case should make dua while making dua for success in his court case, engage the proper means of achieving the success as well. One engaged in the acquisition of Qur'ani and Dini knowledge should make dua for barakat and success, while at the same time study properly and acquire whatever ways are essential for the correct acquisition of knowledge. One involved in ibadat should strive against the lowly desires in the diversions of shaitan and the nafs, while at the same time make dua for aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincerity and steadfastness in the act of ibadat. In affairs in which worldly, physical and material means do not have no role to play, one should in entirety resort to dua. Example, rainfall, protection against plagues, shaitan and the deception of the nafs, protection from the oppression of cruel persons, etc. Dua does not mean the mere recitation of some words and the mere ritual reciting of words after salat. The nature of dua consists of petitioning in the court of Allah Ta'ala. The concern which people have when making appeals in the court of the world should at least be adopted when making dua in the court of Allah Ta'ala. When making dua, one's mind and body should have to be concentrated and directed into the purpose of dua. One should never lose hope in the event of fulfillment of the dua being delayed, or if the fulfillment is not realized. One has to submit to the will of Allah Ta'ala. Dua is an appeal to Allah Ta'ala. It is his right to grant or reject the appeals of his servants. We have no right to become disillusioned and despondent if we cannot feel the acceptance of our dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها 4 حرم ذلك الدين القيم. The Ashur-i-Hurum, which we are in, the month of Muharram, one of the 4 months, the sacred month, the honorable month, the month in which all forbidden things we should stay away from even more, the sin of it is even more during this month. and all righteous things, good deeds, the virtues of it are even more. This is the month of Muharram. With the 2 months that have passed, Zulqa'dah and Zulhijjah, and Muharram, the 3 months, which are Ashhur-e-Hurum, and on the other side, before Sha'ban, the month of Rajab. So during these months, there are great, great virtues for all good deeds. And we should try and do as many good deeds as we can. The month of Ramadan, of course, have got its special virtues, which are very clear, and we should Allah reward the ulama. They always explain it in their bayans, in kitabs, etc. And they make us aware. But these months also have got great value. So we should really appreciate this month and to stay away from sun. That is very, very important. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained that the sun blocks the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. By doing good deeds, we get the rahmat, but sun blocks that rahmat. So we should erase all our sins, make tawbah sincerely to Allah Ta'ala. And then we do even a little bit of good deeds, we see the great effects of it. And if we are involved in sin, and we are doing good deeds also, those sins will block that rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. And then many times we wonder, I'm making so much of nafil ibadat, I'm making so much of this, but we don't see the sins that we are involved in. And also, we should remember that Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is a very, very great ni'mat also. And Allah Ta'ala says Himself, وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah forgives on His own, without us asking also. Allah forgives in abundance. Had Allah not been forgiving us, we shouldn't be living. There wouldn't be a blade of grass that will grow. There wouldn't be a drop of rain water that will fall. It is Allah Ta'ala who is forgiving us. So, and because of this forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala, we are still surviving. So we should understand this is also a great, great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, the forgiveness of Allah. We do understand biryani, plow, roast is a ni'mat of Allah. Our eyes, our brains, ni'mat of Allah. Our houses, our cars. But this forgiveness of Allah, perhaps we don't even think of it. We don't even realize its existence. And continuously, وَيَعَفُوا is فَعَلْ مُضَارِ. Continuously Allah is forgiving us and forgiving us in great, great abundance. So Allah is still giving us our food, etc. But we should appreciate that forgiveness of Allah. Understand that Allah is forgiving us. Allah's system of working, Allah forgives us and He feeds us and He gives us so much. The ulama have explained the Bani Israel, when they started worshipping the calf, what a great act of shirk. The offspring of the cow, of the bull, the small bull, they started worshipping that. When one Munafiq Samiri from the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made this, and he told them, where Musa alayhi salam is gone to look for Allah at Mount Tur? Here is your Allah. Na'uzu billah, na'uzu billah. And they took on to that and they started worshipping that. So we should be very, very careful of this. And also we learn that Musa alayhi salam made so much effort on his people where they were worshipping Fir'aun. They took him as the great Lord, the great Allah. He used to announce and say, Ana Rabbukum al-Ala. He should say, the rivers of Egypt are running by my command. So they were worshipping him. After so much of effort, he just left them to go and meet Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala called him to come and make i'tikaf for 40 days. And then Allah was going to give him the Torah. He just left them. And yeah, they went and they forgot all that. So we also should see that what we have been taught our whole life, we mustn't just forget all that. And we just go into, somebody offered us something different now. And we just take on to that and we forget what we were had to be doing for so long we were taught. And then after that, they started worshipping this calf. And then also Allah Ta'ala says that we forgave you for that also. Mm-hmm. How kind is not Allah Ta'ala? How much doesn't Allah Ta'ala forgive? So we should also understand we are also involved in sin. We are drowning in sin. We are drowning in the ni'mat of Allah, and we are drowning in our sins also. Allah is giving us so many of His ni'mat. One great ni'mat is this forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Then there is another aspect. One is Allah Ta'ala gives you rope. He gives you time. He isn't forgiving you, but He's giving you rope. Which the ulama explained, like a fisherman playing with the fish. He's giving the fish line. Let the fish still play. But finally he's going to pull the fish in. And then all what is going to happen to the fish will happen after that. So we must be afraid also. And a true believer is always afraid. I don't know. What is my position? Is Allah forgiving me? Is Allah giving me chance? And when, if Allah is just giving us chance, and He takes us to task at any time, if Allah takes a person to task, nobody can help that person. And that person's position is worse than pitiable also. And even worse than that, if Allah let our whole life pass nicely, and Allah takes us to task in the akhirat, that is even worse. So we hope from Allah Ta'ala that He's forgiving us and He's showering us with His ni'mats also. So this is also one great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, the forgiveness of Allah, which we are enjoying all the time and which we should think of, and we should make shukr also for that. For all the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, we should be making shukr. So these months which Allah has given us, this month of Muharram, before the Ramzan, rozas became farz. This roza was farz of Muharram. This is known as the month of Allah Ta'ala. And after Ramadan, since Ramadan, rozas have become farz, those are farz rozas. The most virtuous rozas are the month of Muharram's rozas. And the most virtuous in them is Ashura. And one day before, one day after, 9 and 10 or 10 and 11. So these are very valuable days also, this whole month. Each day's roza is equal to 1 month's roza. So as many as we can keep in this month, we should try and keep roza. And of course, and at the same time we should remember, these are all nawafil, optional. Even if a person doesn't keep them with no reason also, there is no sin on him whatsoever. But to commit a sin in these days, that will be very, very severe. And we must be very conscious of it with our cell phone and in our piety also. The messages which come, the messages which we are forwarding, we are also part of any, if there is any backbiting in there, slandering, belittling somebody, and we are passing it on. And these are all major, major sins. And we might be thinking that I am very pious and righteous, but we don't know in our discussions where somebody's view is different from our view, and we just start going out for that person, belittling that person in every way, speaking bad, etc. So these are all very, very dangerous gunas which we are all involved in. So these days are very valuable. The rozas are very valuable. We should try and keep roza on the 10th of Muharram. Add one more day. And that also, for the reason Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khaliful Yahuda wa Nasara. We must oppose the ways. And it isn't only here in Muharram, but in our whole life, from morning to night. How do we dress? How is our lifestyle? What things are we involved in? We should see how much don't we imitate the non-believers. And while we are commanded, la tarkanu ila alladhina zalamu, we should not have the slightest inclination towards them also. Forget wholeheartedly following them. And how much we like their lifestyle. How many of us, Allah forgive us, we would like our wives to be dressed like how their women dress. That is actually, not that we want to see, it is the love of that lifestyle that we want to see still. And we make our woman dress, behave like that. Our children, they dress like that. Little children that are born, and what kind of clothing we put on for them. If that little child, 1 week old child, 1 day old child, if we have to put on a kurta for that child, good people of the family will also say, from now already kurta. You put a scarf on the child's head, a girl's, from now scarf already, but you make the child dress like a Jew, a Christian, like a Hindu, then nobody got objection. So we should be very, very concerned. And this imitation of the kuffar is a very serious guna also. And it appears from what we read of the ulama's writings that lot of Allah's azab comes when we start living a lifestyle of the kuffar. So much so that we mix with them and we become like them also. And we forget our identity almost completely. And we live almost fully their lifestyle. That is when Allah Ta'ala's azab also comes in this world on the believers who are the chosen people in the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So on this day, another command that is given is that we should spend freely on our family on this day. This also, without thinking, we have gone and we have extended it far beyond its limits. We have to spend freely on our family, those who are dependent upon us. Today, now we start giving even presents out, and we are giving presents to all other people also. And everywhere to give presents, it comes in the hadith, tahadu, tahabu, give presents, there will be, love will be created. And the immediate will be, like for example, you give your wife a present, but it should not on this occasion. This now we have been making it like a Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, like what they did. And then our business people are also exploiting it. Now they also advertising that for Muharram presents, shopping we do for Muharram presents, when we don't think we go so much off the mark. For us here perhaps maybe a bit difficult to understand, but in India when we were studying we invited one of our ustads to give us a little talk and remind us on 15th Shaban. He spoke and then he says, but all the virtues are there. He explained them all, but he says what Shaitan has done and which is common in India, Muslim people, they will burst crackers on this night. And it's a major thing. Now what we have to be doing, what are the virtues and where Shaitan takes us to. So here also Shaitan, now we are going into shopping etc., all these gifts, and for everyone who we can think, our ustads, our apas, our other people, we are giving gifts also. It was to spend, and it was to spend on the food and for the family. And then again, really, Muslims' life was such that they lived very down to a wealthy, wealthy people. But they would control their own, voluntarily, they would eat very, very simple food. And they will have more concern for other people. So on that night, then spend a little bit more. And that night will be the night preceding the 10th of Muharram. 10th of Muharram will start at Maghrib time the night before. So that is the time till Maghrib of the day of Ashura. Till that time is the time of Ashura. So that is the time we should try and spend on our family. Ulama also explains that we who are eating, really, even if our ordinary food, but how so much of delicious food. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just when there was two things that were mixed, he said, we are eating two meals now. And it was lavish, he called it. And he wouldn't want to eat there that. So we are eating really, our simple food also is really very lavish food. So in that case, it would be, ulama say, feed the poor. Feed the poor, see to the poor who haven't got, those people who don't even smell food. And there are so many of them. And what we are eating our normal good food. And in any case, if a person wants to spend, we also wonder that we should spend. Does it mean we must go and do the shopping on that time? Ulama say we can do the shopping before time. But for that night, like which is for this year, Yom Ustab, Saturday night, that we have a little bit extra we have. So inshallah Allah will give barakah for the rest of the year. But then we extended it to presents also. We extended it to other things also. So we should try and keep the limits also all the time in place. And when the rozas of Ramadan became for us, Then the rozas of Muharram became optional. Who wish to keep, should keep. And if you don't keep, there is no sun whatsoever. But of course, it is very meritorious. And again, at the same time, to stay away from sin is even more meritorious. That is the most important thing. To get our priorities in order, many of us, that big days have come, so we make lot of ibadat. But even in our ibadat, if we have brought bid'at in, then also we are defeating the object. New things, innovation. And bid'at are not only what we think of as bid'at, that the certain people, what things they do. Like during the 10 days, the martyrdom, they do the martyrdom, the mourning of Hazrat Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of Ahlul Bayt. But these people all came long after the time, and the occasion of Karbala and all that, and many other khatams people made during this time, and we all think of that as piety, or we think of it as we are doing very, we are so much engaged in all the khatams, etc. And what the Shias do during this time, also what terrible, terrible things. So shaitan, he will mislead us very easily. And therefore we are taught that stick firmly onto the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, there is no better protection for us. If a person sticks to sunnah, then no bid'at can come. Bid'at comes in when any sunnah goes out of our life. Then it automatically it will be replaced with some bid'at. Any other type of bid'at will come. So we should try and always stick very firmly on the sunnah, and we should try and find out from the ulama which are the correct practices, and not start our own things and in our desire of doing good, but we end up doing wrong. And therefore for a bid'ati it is very difficult, because tawbah hardly, because he thinks I'm very pious. So where is he going to make tawbah? So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand this, and during this period make it the basis, but our whole life to try and get our priorities in order, to see what we have to be doing, and what does the Sharia want from us, and what are the correct teachings of our deen. So Allah give us tawfiq to keep these rozas also, and during the whole month, how much Allah gives tawfiq, we should try and keep more rozas also. And then the spending on our family also, we should try and spend on our immediately, our dependents, not the extended family. And then also all other things, inviting people, etc., dawahs we are making, all that is also not part of it. It is just to spend on your immediate family, and to add a little bit more to freely to spend on them on that night, which also teaches us at the same time that yeah, we are told for this night spend freely. That means for the rest of the year we should be curbing. We shouldn't be stingy or anything, but we should live a simple life. Unfortunately today that is out of our mind. Any meal we have, there will be two, three types of things. And the achars which will be there, and all. One student asked, and it makes us think. He asked that if we eat like sweets, chocolates, ice creams, all these things, what niyat must we make? When you eat food, feed food to sustain yourself, to make the ibadat of Allah. So you're eating chocolates to make Allah's ibadat. For what is the food? For what are chocolates? And for what are ice creams? So what is it's food for thought that all this year for what is all this? And our dastarkhan is laden with it all the time. There is all the time something or the other. So Allah Ta'ala let us understand our deen properly. And then at this time the imitation of the kuffar, that is also a thing that we should reflect upon. All these other practices also, and where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explicitly said that if I live next year, I will keep another one, Rosa 9 and 10, or 10 and 11. So in our deeni matters, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was so particular that we must be different from the Jews and the Christians, so much so that there was a calendar that was in vogue that all were following. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that we are a distinct nation. And we have to have our own calendar also. And that calendar, after making mashura, when must our calendar be calculated from? Of all the different things that were said, it was decided on the occasion of Hijrah. And for this, a great lesson that the Ummah will learn every year. But sadly, many of us are not really conscious we have come into the new year. Like if it was January we came into, all of us are quite conscious of it. We have come now into a new year. Even though our academic year may be starting at a different time, our business year will be starting at a different time. My own age is starting at a different... I was born whenever I was born. But yet that beginning of January, the end of December, people who think themselves also as pious, but that has got so much of... it's got an impression upon us. And now that Muharram is here, Zulhijjah, all these auspicious occasions, the 10 days of Zulhijjah, what valuable days. But this doesn't impress us like that. It hasn't got that impression upon us. We should try and live as Muslims there that we are living. And our Islam is not confined to our five times namaz, to our roza, zakat, hajj, but a lifestyle of Islam. Ulama discussed this point. One person, for example, he is dressing like a Muslim. His lifestyle is Islamic, but no lot of ibadat in his life. And another person whose lifestyle is that of a non-believer, but lot of ibadat. And there are people, women also, lot of tahajjud also. But when it comes to makeup, when it comes to dressing, when it comes to other things, then they live like other people. But ibadat they make a lot. Many men also, many of us every year hajj, umrah also. But when it comes to lifestyle, when you see that person, so who is more superior of the two? The person who lives an Islamic way of life, though his ibadat is not much, and he stays away from sin, he is far superior than that person who makes a lot of ibadat, even giving lot of charity also, but he hasn't got an Islamic lifestyle. He's not refraining from gunas and from sins. So Allah Ta'ala give us this understanding, to understand this, and in our deen also, one person, for example, he might be making lot of ibadat, and then we will easily regard him as a great buzur, very pious person. Another person might be teaching children. Nazra is teaching them. He's teaching them hifz, basic things. But the teaching is much superior than ibadat. Ibadat, we all will take it, a person who makes whole night tahajjud, who makes lot of ibadat, is very pious. But a person who will teach deen, learn deen, teach deen, this person is far superior. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand our deen and understand it properly. And in the teaching of deen also, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, that a time will come when deen will go out of us. One Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, how will that happen when we are teaching deen to our children? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I thought more or less the meaning of the words that you like a wise person, you would know. But don't you see the Jews and the Christians, they're also teaching their deen to their children. But deen is gone out of them. So this is also a thing that we should consider. One pious lady, regularly she sits with her family and she says, let us analyze, is deen coming in our house or deen going out of our house? We are having, mashallah, they're very much involved in tabligh, etc. also, and all programs, everything. But let us see whether deen is actually coming in our lives or is deen going out of our lives. We find it also very sadly, how many times when boys and girls get married, then we look for example, an alim, an alima, but there isn't deen in the person's life. And then people get very, very, they are taken aback that we thought we are marrying a very big alim or a big alima, but we find that even the basics of deen, And the ways of the non-Muslims are so much in us. So we have to be very and from this Muharram and from this occasion, we should consider and check ourselves that how much of deen is in us. We can be having a lot of ilm also. Allah Ta'ala makes people go astray in spite of their knowledge. Even in spite of deeni knowledge. And in fact, people who started big, big missions, they were also great ulama. That's why they had a following. But in spite of that knowledge of theirs, they went astray. They made others also go astray. So deen is the thing. And the problem in the world is also that there isn't deen. One is be-deeni, no deen. And one is bad-deeni. And the negative things, the opposite things are in our lives. And it is all labeled as deen. The picture of it is deen. And this is when Allah also becomes very upset. When we give a picture, we deceive some. Anyone gets upset. When you deceive somebody, and you show him, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh gives this example often, that a rep comes to your shop and he shows you a sample of something. And when he sends the goods, it's something else. Inferior quality. Or for example, you ordered shoes of this size. He sends you shoes which nobody will be wearing. That size shoes he sends you, or something like that. How angry don't you become? So when we have the picture of deen, but there isn't deen in our lives, Allah guide us all. We are very, very faulty, very wrong. And let us have the form of deen also, and we work towards the real. Muharram is the ideal occasion. This new year that has come to make us, to awaken us, to take us out of our not sleep but slumber, that which we are so much, and we are quite happy. I'm making my namaz, I'm doing ibadat, etc. I'm quite pious. But really, how much of deen is in our lives? And for that, the best is to see the lives of our righteous and pious elders. And then check ourselves on that. As Maulana explained, that person asked Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that question. He thought about himself. Today, fortunate we will be, when somebody asks us a question, we react, but I'm in the same problem. I'm facing the same thing. My position is the same. What is my condition? So if we can reflect on ourselves, today our bayans also, one person wrote to one great sheikh, and he says, I'm teaching, I'm making bayans, I'm doing everything. The sheikh wrote back, he said, I would have been much more better if you would have written and said, how much are you reflecting on yourself? How much are you considering your own condition? What is my condition? So like that, we might be doing lot of work of deen also. But what is our own condition? And at the time of mort, all these things, it discounts with Allah Ta'ala. And we all have to die. We can get saved from corona, we can get saved from this, but mort we cannot get saved. For whom mort is written, when it is written, where it is written, how mort, now presently we are seeing how mort takes people to the way mort was bent for that person. How a person goes towards it, nobody can run away from mort. We shouldn't be afraid of mort. Afraid of our bad actions, yes. That we have got to, and always wish to have great hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah is most merciful, most kind. We have mercy, we have hope. Allah will treat us according to that. And hand our matters over to Allah. Never lose hope in Allah Ta'ala. Allah is there. Allah is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. He is alive all the time and He keeps everyone alive also. He is controlling us. We can't keep ourselves alive. And nothing can keep us alive. It is Allah. And when the time comes for us to leave, we will have to leave on that time. Ibn Rajab Hanbali Rahimahumullah, one very great alim, has written a beautiful explanation that when we make our du'as, we turn to Allah, Allah's protection, how it comes. Farishtas protect us. Allah sends people to protect us. After everything he discusses, at the end he writes, and this, many of us, we get a bit confused here. He says, there are those orders of Allah Ta'ala which come and which have to take place. Then even the malaika of protection move away. Now that order of Allah comes on that person, nobody can stop it. And nothing can stop it then. So we wonder that my du'as are not accepted. I made so much of this du'a, that du'a, the du'a, 100% the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Allah's system is above everything. When Allah has decreed something, so we submit wholly to Allah Ta'ala. And a person who submits to Allah, even if halat and conditions come, Allah will give him the patience to bear it. And what darjah Allah gives that person, we cannot imagine. And in the akhirat, that is the real life. This dunya's difficulties are nothing compared to akhirat. This dunya's enjoyments are absolutely nothing compared to akhirat. That is the real life. May Allah make it. We seem to have lost focus. And we just worried of this dunya. I mustn't get corona. I mustn't get COVID. I must get saved from it. And everything, we just worried about this. But maut is written. And what is written, our taqdeer, 100% we have to have iman on our taqdeer. It's one of the 7 articles of our basic faith. If we don't have iman on taqdeer, then our iman gets nullified. So it's very, very important that we come back to our basics. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah, guide us to righteousness, and let us take the full benefit of this month of Ashura, which is coming. Save us from transgressing and going beyond the limits, and just let us keep us within our limits and do what we have to do, inshallah.